We're learning a lot of things. I know that you know this, but we're learning a lot of things about God. And those things are true. And so, of course, you do want to remember them. But we're learning that some things, that even though they're true, sometimes they don't help in the situation. Many of the things that we've heard may be solid, but they just don't apply, to what Job himself is going through. It's been very frustrating to Job. His friends, the two that we've heard from, have been very judgmental. And we're going to, after Job is now finished speaking, basically defending himself, and we go into chapter 11, and we're going to hear from Job's third friend. We've heard from Eliphaz, the Temanite. We've heard from Bildad, the Shuhite. Now we hear from Zophar, the Naamathite. You try that. Then answered Zophar, the Naamathite, and said, "Should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified?" This guy is not very gentle. I thought the last guy was rough, but this guy, I mean, he takes the cement bicycle. I mean, this guy wins the prize, okay? He is a legalist. I know that you've met them. Maybe, if we're willing to admit it, maybe at times each of us has sort of been a little bit legal in our walks. And we have that tendency. We certainly can be. If we've had a good day, in the Lord, sometimes we're guilty of trying to help others, and we're a little bit legal in our approach. Well, this guy is Mr. Legal. He's also, and Job is going to mention it. He is also a know-it-all. And very unloving. I pointed out to you only because it's something I should do. You'll probably notice it as soon as we begin to read what he says. Well, I read you a verse of what he said. I just read verses 1 and 2. Here's what he says to Job. Now remember, Job just got through with his speech after being attacked by the second friend. Job basically defends himself. And here Zophar says this, "Job, you're trying to cover up your sins with your many words." I guess you're kind of figuring if you talk enough, everybody's going to forget what the discussion's about eventually. It's basically what he said. I'll read it to you again. "Should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified?" You're just trying to just keep talking until we give up and say, "Oh, okay, everything's fine." Job, you're talking too much. "Should your lies make men hold their peace?" he says. "And when you mock, shall no man make thee ashamed?" It's another way to say it, he says. You're just trying to talk yourself out of this situation. He says, "Job, you're lying. And we know you're lying." How do we know? Well, remember, both friends have said it already. If you were an honest and upright man, you would not be sick. You're sick, therefore, you're a liar. Now, we know you're a liar. He's accusing Job of lying and trying to manipulate his three friends. You just keep talking, these long speeches. You're just trying to manipulate us. You're just trying to get us to feel sorry for you. You're a liar. I don't know. Wouldn't you love to have this friend around if you were in the hospital sick? "Hey, liar, how's it going?" Hey, who let him in here? He says, "For thou hast said," verse 4, "my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you." Okay, Zophar says, you know, since God has said nothing so far, and we know you're lying, and this is kind of really making me sick, Zophar says, "I'm going to go ahead and speak for him." I want to go ahead and talk for God. Look at the next verses. Look at verse 6. That he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacts of thee less than thine iniquity deserves. It said in English, Job, I'm going to speak for God and I'm going to tell you this. You're only getting half of what you deserve. You're a lot worse than we even thought you were, Job. But God seems to be taking it easy on you. This is only half of what you should be getting. Zophar says, God is exacting of you less than your iniquity deserves. You're not getting everything you deserve. I don't know what your sin is, man, but I'm glad I'm not you. Why don't you quit lying and tell the truth and get this over with? You see, that doesn't help. That's not helping Job. You'll notice in a moment that Job has just about had enough of his friends. Verse 7, we read, Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heavens. What can you do? Deeper than hell. What can you know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. He says, come on, Job. Let me tell you a little bit about God. First of all, I know you're lying. I know something about you. The others haven't said, but I know you're getting half of what you deserve. God's taking it easy on you. I don't know what your sin is, but man, you are a sinner. You must really be a sicko. When you put it in our language, it's tacky, isn't it? He says, no man, I want to tell you something. No man can discover God. God isn't figured out or discovered, you know? If God does not reveal himself, he cannot be found out. Now, those are true statements. That's the truth. Nobody, not you, not me, not anyone, no one can discover God. You can't, remember the Russian cosmonaut that first went out when Russia sent the first cosmonaut out there? That was before many of you were born. And the cosmonaut from space says, now I know there's no God. People say, why? He said, because I'm up here and looking around. He's not up here. Now there's some logic. You know, and Zophar is correct when he says you can't discover God. You can't take some kind of super telescope like the Hubble and start looking around and finally find him. You can't do that. The only way you're ever going to know God is if God would reveal himself to you. And that's the way we learn about God. What do you know about God? Whatever it is, you learned it from the Word of God. And God's Holy Spirit has taught it to you. You didn't figure it out. None of us have discovered anything about him. He has taught us about himself. God has said, I am full of mercy. God has said, I am love. I am kind. My compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. It's God that tells us that about himself, or we wouldn't know it. And that's what Zophar is saying. And Zophar hasn't said anything that we don't know. Zophar hasn't said anything that Job doesn't know. But you see, he's one of these guys who just knows everything and he needs to tell Job. He's telling Job what Job and the men that are sitting there, they know that. God is too big to be understood by mere man. Unbelievers sometimes say, if you could explain God to me, I would believe. Well, of course, you know the answer to that. If I could explain God to you, that wouldn't make him very big at all. If I could explain him, he wouldn't be God. If my mind could understand him, then he's not very big at all, because my mind is not that big. And that's what he's telling Job. You can't find him like you would find germs under a microscope. You're not going to discover God. He'll reveal himself to you. And he has spoken to you and revealed himself to you through his Son in these last days. The book of Hebrews tells us. Through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you would really want to know how God would feel if someone spit in his face, open the Gospels and watch Jesus. If you want to know what God would say if someone slapped him or tore out his beard, open the book of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John and see. You'll see just what God would say and just what God would do. You're learning about God. He's revealing himself to you. Now, verse 10 says, if he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him or stop him? For he knoweth vain men. He sees wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild donkey's colt. Verses 10 through 12, God is very wise. He certainly knows the difference and recognizes the difference between deceitful men and honest men. Now God knows. You and I, we don't. Sometimes we're able to recognize it, but there are times when you and I can be fooled. We don't know, but God knows. He knows the difference between deceitful and honest. And what he is hinting at, remember he's talking to Job. What he's hinting at is, Job, we know what you're all about. You're lying. We know, God knows the difference between honest and deceitful. We know you're lying. And again, the thought, this wouldn't happen to you if you didn't have it coming. Oh, how many Christians still believe that today. Verse 13 says, if you prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. You're hiding something, Job. Come clean. Don't be so proud. You're covering up, and it's killing you. Just get your hands clean. Confess it, bring it out in the open, and let's just get this over with. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear, because thou shalt forget the misery, or thy misery, and remember it as water that pass away. Thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. Job, if you would just deal with this gross sin in your life, we just go ahead, quit lying, and deal with this gross sin in your life. Repent and quit fighting God. God would hear and answer your prayers and restore you. All right, do you hear the logic? Job, you're suffering, you're sick. People that are upright don't suffer and they don't get sick. So you're not upright, you're lying. Confess it. Come clean. Once you do and you cry out to God, you'll be healed. How many times have people told you that? Those of you that might be sick or might be in need of surgery. How many times have you heard, well, if you had faith, there must be sin in your life, brother or sister. Must be. That's not what's going on in Job's heart. That's not what's going on in Job's life. We know that because we've been reading this book since the beginning. But it is still commonly taught even today. And it's sad because people suffer and they don't understand it. And then someone comes along while they're down and steps on them and says, you deserve it. You know, if you were good like me, you'd be standing up like I am instead of laying there. That's what this man is saying. That's what all three of them have said. Oh my goodness, how loving that is, isn't it? Just take a look at me. I'm healthy. You're not healthy. One of us is bad. I mean, that's the logic. But I see it. It's sad. I see it today. So do you. That's not the way we're to do it. Of course, you and I as Christians, as soon as some trial or some calamity or some testing comes upon us, whether it be an illness or whatever it might be, of course you and I as Christians are going to do what first? Going to fall on our faces before the Lord and say, Lord, what's happening? Tell me what to do. And if it's sin that God is dealing with, He's going to show it to you. But Job's friends, my goodness. Verse 18 says, you shall be secure. If you just confess, you know, you shall be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also, thou shalt lie down and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. He says, bottom line, God's judgment is upon you, Job. You better hurry and get right, or it's going to be too late for you. He says, absolute and complete judgment are coming upon you, Job. You'd better just get this over with. You better straighten up. All right, I don't know. Just for a moment, put yourself in Job's shoes. How would it make you feel? It would just really make you feel like wanting to hug this guy, wouldn't it? No. Wouldn't make you very happy. And so chapter 12, Job answered and said, no doubt. Now he's talking to the man that just spoke to him, but he's talking to all his friends there, all three of them. He's not just referring only to Zophar, he's referring to all three now. He says, no doubt, but you are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Oh my goodness, he's mad. I read it calmly, but ooh, this guy is hurting, he is sick. Remember, he's been wanting to die for the last 10 chapters. And he is not feeling well, and this is not helping. And he says, you guys think you have all the answers. You are the people. He says, or another, the way we would say it today is, you are the man. Yeah, you're the woman. You go, girl. And he says, and when you all die, wisdom's going to die with you. When you three die, there's going to be no wisdom left on the earth. You guys are it. You're the only ones who have it now, and when you're gone, wisdom's gone with you. Boy, it's going to be an ugly place. Can you tell he's a little upset? Oh, maybe a little. Can you blame him? Problem is, everybody, it's creating something in him. It's bringing out something in him that he didn't know was there, and he's going to have to learn to deal with it. Verse 3 says, I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knows not such things as these? Job says, he's pretty upset now. I'm just as smart as you are. I'm no less than you. You're telling me things. Everybody knows the things you're saying. These things aren't new. And the things you've been saying about God, they're common knowledge. All right, everybody, now take note if you're writing down. Take note. Watch this, because you've been watching it now for 11 chapters. But learn. You and I can learn now. Watch this. When you attack someone who is down, when we attack someone who is down, it doesn't lead them to self-judgment. Did you hear that? When someone attacks you and you're hurting, it doesn't lead you to stop and say, I need to, Lord, what's wrong with my heart? What's going on? It doesn't lead that. You know what it does? To the contrary, notice what it's doing in Job. It causes that person to, in despair and in desperation, to come back in self-defense. You notice that? When you and I attack someone who's hurting and they're down, it doesn't cause them to really begin to think about their own heart. What it does is it causes them to literally try to stay alive and try to defend themselves no matter what the situation. So attacking an individual when they're hurting and when they're down doesn't bring out the best in them. It's going to cause them to defend themselves. That's what it's going to cause Job to do. That's what it's been causing Job to do. Except he's getting more angry and more angry all the time. Until it's going to cause him here to get himself, he's going to put his feet in his mouth. You and I have probably done that too. When we're under attack, someone says, you're a lousy teacher, or you're this, or you're that, and you know what I think, and you're hurting already, and what does it make you do? Oh yeah, well wait a minute. And here we go, instead of stopping going, Lord, what am I really? What's going on really? Instead, we just do what Job's going to do here. And defend ourselves. Self-defense. What does Jesus say? Someone smites you on your right cheek, turn it off for them. Your left. When someone smites you on one cheek, turn it off for the other. Doesn't he say that? Not only is he talking about a physical slap, but he's also talking about a slur or an insult. Well, Job, just feeling bad enough, and he's just had enough. He says, I am as one, verse 4, mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. He says, I'm in a tough position, you guys. I'm in a difficult circumstances, and you guys are doing just fine. I'm here sick and hurting. You're sitting there doing just fine. I am slipping and I am falling and you guys aren't lifting a finger to help. This is doing me no good what you're doing here. I'm the one that's hurting. I'm the one that's sliding. My feet are sliding. I can't seem to stop my downward fall and you guys are doing fine. And you're hurting this whole issue. The tabernacles of robbers prosper. And they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God brings abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they'll teach you. This is verse 7. And the fowls of the air, and they shall tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach you. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words and the mouth taste his food? He says, you guys, you should learn from the animals. Even the animals, even the fish, the birds of the air, all of them realize everything comes from the hand of God. Even all creation knows that is in God's hands. He goes, you guys should take a lesson from them. Verse 12 says, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaks down and it cannot be built again. He shuts up a man and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholds the waters and they dry up. Also, he sends them out and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. I think he's teaching them a little lesson about God. You all three have been talking about God, what you think you know. He says, let me tell you something about God. I can tell you more than what you've said. He says, God can reverse the fortunes of leaders. God can change the courses of mighty nations. He can send out water. He can stop the water. God is in absolute control. In his wisdom and in his power, he controls all creation, is what Job says, and all that is in it. Verse 17, he leads counselors away spoiled, and he marks the judges fools. I'm sorry, makes the judges fools. He looseth the band or bond of kings and girds their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away, spoiled, and overthrows the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty. He taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and he weakens the strength of the mighty. Those verses simply say this. He humbles the counselors, the judges, the kings, the priests, the well-established officials, the advisors, the elders, the nobles, and the mighty by stripping away their power and their wisdom. He is in absolute control of everything and everyone, Job says to his friends. Verse 22, he discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlarges the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunkard man or a drunken man. God brings to light, or brings, excuse me, things to light that are difficult to understand, he says. He is sovereign over all nations. He is God. And again, he points out, he's in absolute control. He says, lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What you know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Again, in simple language, you haven't told me anything new. You haven't shed any light on anything. You've wasted your time, and you've wasted mine. Poor Job's a little bit upset. Surely, I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with him. See, he's got himself now so frustrated, and there he is trying to defend his cause because he's feeling so poorly. He says, you know what? I want to talk to God himself. I'm a little bit tired of talking to you guys. You don't know what you're talking about. It's a big mistake on Job's part. He's getting a little excited here. He's getting a little ahead of himself. And he says, I just want to talk to God. I should be talking to God is literally what he's saying. Not you guys. I would like to reason with God himself. Now, Job, at this point, doesn't really realize how merciful God is. He will when he's done, but at this point, he doesn't really realize how merciful God is. And I don't think he really realizes how God is wanting to bless him and wanting to help him. Do you remember that this was God's idea to begin with? And that through this all, of course, remember, I told you, I've read through the end. I think you have too. Through this all, God will work in this man's life to help him to see and to know his God better. Remember, you don't discover God. God reveals himself to you. And so Job, frustrated and listening to these people who he can see, there's just no help. He said, you know, I need to talk to God. This is a waste of my time to talk to you. I need to talk to God. I need to plead my case with God. But you are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value. Okay, in our language, you guys, you're lying. You don't know what you're talking about when it comes to God. You're making up things. You're lying. By the way, you're lousy doctors. You're not helping here. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I'm sick. This isn't healing me up, guys. And by the way, you're missing the whole point. Verse 5 says, oh, that you would altogether hold your peace. And it should be your wisdom. The best thing you could do, and I hate to be rude, but literally, is shut up. He has said it to them before. The best thing you can do is just be quiet. That's the best thing you could do for me right now. You know, the sick person looks at you and says, do you want to help? I really do. Then shut up, man. You go, oh, okay. That's funny. Hold your peace. He said that would really be wise on your part. if you'd just be quiet, that would really be the wisest thing you could do right now. He says, hear now my reasoning. And hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? So you guys need to listen to what I've got to say. I talked after the first guy. I talked after the second. But nobody's hearing what I'm saying. You guys need to listen to what I'm saying. And he says, you are misrepresenting God. You don't want to do that. He says, you speak wickedly for God. Remember, Zophar presumed to go ahead and speak. He said, this is what God would, if God would speak, let me tell you what he'd show you. Let me tell you what he'd say. Job says, you're misrepresenting God. I don't think that's how God would see it. I don't think that's how God, he says, you speak wickedly for God. There's a lesson for us there. Highlighted, underlined. Let's be careful and not speak wickedly or speak lies on behalf of God to others. Let's be careful and listen and wait upon the Lord. He says, will you accept his person? Will you contend for God? Verse 8 says, verse 9, is it good that we should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do you so mock him? He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Job says, you're judging. And God will certainly judge you for misrepresenting him. What you're saying is, because I'm sick, I'm less than you. He says, that's being a respecter of persons. We don't do that. You're judging. You're making a big mistake. Job's got some good things to say here. These are great lessons for us to learn. I hope we can. Verse 11 says, shall not his excellency make you afraid? And his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace and let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job says, you gotta leave me alone, you guys. You don't know what you're talking about. But there's one thing I can tell you. I still trust in the Lord. My faith remains in the Lord. Even if he allows me to die, though he slay me, he says, I will continue to trust him. Had Job stopped right there, what a powerful thing to say. Oh, Job, if you had only stopped right there. And look at us sometimes. We, when things are going bad, all right, I trust God. God's in control. He can handle it. He'll do good. If we could just stop right there. Job doesn't stop right there. This is where he goes wrong. He says, you know, I'd like to go before him. I trust him. Even if he slays me, even if he lets me die, I will trust in him. But you know what? I'd like to go before the Lord and plead my own case. I'd like to be my own attorney just for a moment and stand before the Lord and tell him how I'm feeling and what's going on. I want to defend myself in the presence of God. What do we read in the book of Isaiah? Chapter 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. Do you really think you want to stand before God and speak on your own behalf in your own defense? Do you really think I want to do that? Romans chapter 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do I really think I want to stand before God and be given an opportunity to defend myself and what's been going on in this life of mine? Do you really think Job wants to do that? Romans chapter 3 verse 10, and as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Do you really think Job wants to stand before God and be his own defense attorney and try to defend his existence? Do you really think you and I want to do that? No. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's simple faith. That was wise. But to say, and you know what? I want to stand up before God and speak as my own attorney. Who is our advocate between us and the Lord? Jesus Christ. Remember Job said the last time we got together, oh, there is no daysman between God and man, or between God and me. He could put his hand on God and he could put his hand on me. What Job was saying is, I wish there were someone who could touch God the Father and could touch me and bring us together. And what do we learn from the New Testament? There is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus can touch the Father and can touch you and bring you together through the shed blood there on the cross at Calvary. But don't for one minute believe, and poor Job is going to be straightened out and God's going to give him his chance to defend himself. And Job's going to immediately see, what a stupid thing I said. I don't want to stand before the Lord and be my own defense and speak on my own behalf. I don't want to do that. I want Jesus Christ to take my sin as he did on the cross of Calvary. I want to come to Jesus in simple childlike faith and let Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus wash my sins away. None of you want to take the opportunity to stand before the Lord in that judgment day and speak in your own defense. And Job is even going to mention something in a little while that's going to show you that he might think what I said might be a little foolish. Too late to take it back, but he said it. Verse 16 says, he also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Job seems to realize, although he's just made a foolish statement prior to that, that salvation is of the Lord. He is my salvation. And not on our own merits or on our own works or whatever we do. God is our salvation, Job says. So he realizes that, although he's a little frustrated, a little angry and speaking out here. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold now, I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Job says, now listen to me. I think I've got a good case here. I think that I could probably get myself out of this jam if I could just speak for myself, on behalf of myself, before the Lord. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost, or I'll die. Now remember, everyone, think about this, as we've been going through here. Each time Job has spoken before, what has he said he wanted to do? Wait, tell me. I want to die. I just wish God would let me die. You've probably heard people say that. I just want to die. I want to just get out of this life. I just want to die. Remember Job saying, just why did he even let me be born in the first place? Why didn't he just let me die? Just leave me alone and let me die. Whine, whine, whine. Now look what Job just said. He's a little fired up now. He's thinking, you know, I might be able to be a good lawyer for myself. I think if I could get before him, no one speak for me. I can speak on my own behalf. I think I got a good case here. I think I can do this. Then he says, but I got to do it soon or I'll die. Hey, you wanted to die 10 minutes ago, man. Now what are you saying? I want to speak and I want to live. You know, the poor guy doesn't know what he wants. He's just like us. When everything's coming up roses, God is good, isn't he? Things are going my way. Zip-dee-doo-dah. Man, things are great. God is good. And then when things aren't going my way, what's up? I don't know, man. I wish I would just die. I don't know why God lets me live and everything. God just, man, he's just pouring it on me. He must think my shoulders are bigger than they are because he's just putting it on me, man. I can't handle it. That's us, isn't it? Job, a while ago, wanted to die. Now he's going, I think I want to live. I think I got a good case here. I think I could take it up front. And this is cool. And this sounds just like me. I shouldn't admit that, but it does. Only do not two things to me. I want to talk to your face, God, but there are please don't do two things. What are they? He says, then will I not hide myself from you. What are the two things? Withdraw your hand from me and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. He says, I'll call, I want to talk to you right to your face, and I think I got a pretty good case. But there's two things I want you not to do. He says, in two conditions. One, don't strike me dead. When he says, take your hand from me, that just means, let me know. First, don't strike me dead. And number two, don't scare me so bad that I won't be able to talk. Don't intimidate me. Isn't that us? All right, God, I'm a little upset. Now, don't be mad or anything. That's exactly what he's saying. I think I'm going to go to God and I'm going to figure this out. But God, I'm going to come to you on my terms. I will come to you on my terms. You got to act the way I say. First, don't kill me. And then don't scare me so bad that I won't be able to say anything. Because if I can't present my case, what good is it for me being there? So please don't make me so scared that I can't function. Okay, that tells me that Job has a little bit of an idea that he might be barking up the wrong tree. Metaphorically speaking, of course. He goes on. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. He's talking to God now. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me from thine enemy? Or for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For you write bitter things against me, and you make me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he, as a rotten thing, consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten. What is he doing, everybody? He's calling God to a showdown. I'll talk to you. All right, number one, don't, God, I promise you won't kill me. Number two, don't scare me so bad that I can't talk. But I want to talk to you. How many sins do I actually have? Obviously, you've got a problem here. How many sins do I actually have? I want to know why I'm being treated this way. I'm just like a leaf that's being driven back and forth by the wind, and you stepped on me and crushed me like you'd smash a dry leaf. That's funny. When he has just said, but don't kill me and don't scare me. I want to know how many sins I got. Go ahead, you've been counting them. I mean, obviously you're holding something against me. Tell me what it is. That's pretty big talk. What did they say in True Grit? Mighty big talk for a one-eyed fat man. I mean, that's pretty big talk for Job, who is there near death with boils that are completely covered with worms, and he's having to scrape them off, and he's in pain, and he can't even stand up. That's pretty big talk to say to God, all right, don't kill me and don't scare me, but I want to know, all right, you keeping score, tell me. I mean, that's mighty big. I don't think that that's really going to be a blessing to Job. What I like about this is God is going to say, all right. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God's going to tell Job, stand up, you wimp, if you want to talk, and fight like a man. Now, Job can't even stand. But Job's talking mighty big talk. And the trouble is, sometimes that could be me. Sometimes that could be you. How we start to think, who does God think he is? Let me go through this. I don't need this. I'm bad, yeah, but not bad like those guys over there. Wait a minute, I'm tired of this. Now, Job's going to talk about death quite a bit. We'll finish up in chapter 14. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Trouble. And I know that you know this, but Job's just pouring out his heart here. He's going to be talking about death. Trouble is the common denominator of all mankind. You and I have trouble. Trouble is what life turns out to be all about. During life, we each get trouble. He says, life is like a shadow. When the sun's gone, when the sun goes down, notice shadows are gone. They're gone. Life's like a flower that is cut down. And he says, and yet, God sees me and even deals with me. Even though life is short, even though life's like a shadow, even though life's like a flower that's there and beautiful one moment and then cut down and gone, he says, even that quickly, God puts his eyes on me, he sees me, and he even deals with me. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Good question. The answer? Not one. We are all born sinners. I read you those scriptures earlier. And our parents, nothing personal against you, but our parents, they were sinners too. And we came from our parents. And you see, Adam and Eve, Cain, Abel, you can follow it down till it comes to me, till it comes to you. And you see, you're not going to get something clean from something unclean. You're not going to have someone that walks up to you and be sinless, not if their parents were human. You can't get something clean out of something unclean. That's why, clearly, the Gospels tell you that the father of Jesus was God, not Joseph. If the father of Jesus would have been Joseph, Jesus would not have been the Son of God and would not have been sinless, because you can't get something clean from something unclean. Simple point. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. Our days are determined. You and I have seen that before through scripture. Before you got here, before I got here, before we got here, our days were determined. Now we are determined to make them longer. Doctors say you can make your days longer by, try this. We've got technology, and believe me, it's, I'm telling you right now, it's become a god. Technology is thinking that it's going to make life go on forever. No, kid yourself. Before you got here, before I got here, my days were numbered. And God says we're hemmed in. Job says, you know, man is hemmed in. God has appointed the boundaries, and you and I can't get over them. You can't get around them. There are boundaries set. Now, doctors think they're going to get through them and over them, around them. I promise you, according to the word of God, they will not. God will only let them get so far, but they will not get hemmed, they will be hemmed in, because that's the way it works. He says the least God could do, after he mentions all that, is turn from looking at man so that God won't harass man so much. You see that? Turn from looking at him. What did he say? I'll read it to you again so you can see. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Turn from him, verse 6, that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. Let him get through this. Don't bother him. Leave him alone, God. Turn from man. Let him get through this short life. Get off his back, Job is kind of saying. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, verse 7, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. You're going to learn some good lessons here. Watch. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs or boughs like a plant. But man dies and wastes away. Yea, man gives up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. He says, you know, when you got a tree, and that tree could be healthy, you could chop it down. You could chop a tree down, And he says, sure enough, it has a chance of growing back up because there are roots down in the ground and you could chop a tree off and it could still possibly go. But it gets rained on and gets some nourishment. Little area there come little sprouts. He says, because the roots are there. But when a man dies, you chop a man down. That's it. It's over. There's no more roots. When he's dead, he's dead. He says, that's it. Simply meaning that a man cannot relive any of his life in the same body. That body's done. It's done. It's over. There is no reincarnation. You're not coming back for a second round to get it right. He says, that's it. And Job's really right on when he says that. Verse 13 says, oh, that you would hide me in the grave, and that you would keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Okay. Sometimes when you read King James, you read it and you say, I'm not sure that made sense. It was profound. Job says, if a man die, will he live again? His answer is, no, he won't get another chance to live in this body the same way again. Then he says something very interesting. Don't miss it. He says, when he's dead, then you will call and I will answer. Let me read it to you again. If a man die, verse 14, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Once I die, there's the change. I'm gone. I'm finished. This body's done for. Thou shalt call, and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of thine hands. What does that mean? He says, you're going to call. When I'm dead, you're going to call me, and I'm going to have to answer. After death, Job expects a judgment. In other words, God is not through with us at death. There is judgment. You will have a desire to the work of your hands. God made me. God made you. And there's coming a time when we leave these bodies, we're going to stand before him. Everybody will. Either at the throne, the Bema Seat judgment for Christians, or the great white throne for non-Christians. But either way, we will all stand and be judged. Job knows that. Verse 16 says, for now you number my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. Surely the mountain falling cometh to nothing, or nothing to naught. The rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth. Thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passes. Thou changest his countenance and send him away. He says, God will require. Even though Job is here again, he's in pain, and he's hoping that death will relieve his pain. Job is saying, there is more to come. It's not over when you die. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Also, Revelation 20, verse 12, for the non-believers. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books of life according to their works. His sons, verse 21, they come to honor and he doesn't know it. They are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Job says, when you die, or in death, a parent cannot see their children. He says, yeah, I suppose your sons could show up and visit your grave. but you can't see them. And if your children are having problems and things are going difficult for them, he says, you can no longer sympathize with their problems. See, let me read it again. His sons come to honor, and he doesn't know it. They come to pay their respects to the grave, but Job says, if I had the children and I were in the grave, I wouldn't know it. And they are brought low. The children sometimes have difficulties, struggles, problems. But in death, he says, he perceiveth it not. You can no longer sympathize with those problems. Job says, even in death, he'll mourn and be lonely. So he's got some good, solid teaching, and he's got some misunderstandings. And as you read through Scripture, of course, I'm hoping that you and I are recognizing the differences. You kind of hope that his friends would listen to him. But Eliphaz is going to talk next. We'll have to stop here, but he'll talk, and you'll see that he didn't pick up a lot of this. But you and I can learn. God has given this book to us so you and I can learn. There are ways to deal with each other. There are ways to treat each other. And sometimes when we're not sure what to do, sometimes it's just good to sit with one another. We've seen it over and over with his friends. There are times when we could share Scripture with each other, but even sometimes that might not be the right Scripture to share. And his friends have tried to do that, and it's kind of been a mess. Does that mean you shouldn't share Scripture? Does it mean you shouldn't be around those who are suffering and need help? No, of course you know the opposite is true. We need to care for one another and minister to one another. That's your responsibility. See, when we study through the Bible like this, it is so that my calling, according to God's Word, is that I would teach His Word. That's my calling. That's a simple calling. Now, your calling, those of you that haven't been called to teach it, your calling is to learn it and to grow so that you are prepared to do what? The Bible says, the ministry. Your calling is to do the ministry. Usually people want me to do it all. I can't. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the ability. I don't have the flexible schedule enough because my calling has been something different. But I see you as the ones that should be prepared to do the ministry, and I see my job is to teach you through, well, the Holy Spirit teach you through me that you would do the ministry. So that next time you're with someone who is hurting, you'll remember what God has taught you through Job's friends, through Job himself. And you begin to say, Lord, help me, all of us, to remember these things so that if I have an opportunity to share it with someone who is hurting, that you give me words that are healing words, that you'll give me words that are wise, that you'll give me Scripture that is solid, that when I represent you, it'll be a good representation. It won't be a misrepresentation. And we're learning slowly through the book of Job, and we just ask God to help us to remember all of it. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, again, we thank you. As we read through your word, verse by verse, we learn, Lord, your Holy Spirit teaches us. We do have a tendency to forget sometimes. Well, you promised that your Spirit would bring to our remembrance the things that you said, the things that you have taught us, Lord. We do want to bring you glory. We do want to minister to others. As your word says, so that we are prepared to do the ministry. That's something that each one of us needs to do, Lord. Not just one or two, or it won't get done. So help us. Change our hearts, Lord, in areas where, as we're reading through, we might see some chinks in our own armor, some weaknesses there. Lord, strengthen us. Change our hearts. Build us up for your glory. As we worship you, Lord, we praise you, we trust you, we ask you that you would be glorified by our lives. It's our prayer. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.